A question. Who are you? On the face of it, a simple question. But how is it we answer it? Who am I? Well, I'm Richard Lake. Or I could give a little bit more information and reply with, I'm Richard, son of Christine and Alan, husband of Claire and father of Josh. That gives a bit more info, tells you a little bit about me and starts to paint a bit of a richer picture of who I am. It lets you know I'm married and I've got a son. Maybe I could approach it a different way. I'm Richard. After university, I went to work in the financial services sector in the City of London, had a successful career as a management consultant before giving that up to be a stay-at-home dad. Alongside that, I had a small photography business and was involved in youth work before going back to university and started a new career path. Or maybe I'm Richard. I've been struggling with a back injury the last couple of months. And if I'm honest, it's been a difficult and frustrating time. And I've not really coped well with not being able to do the things I would normally be able to do. It's a simple question. But how we answer it gives us an idea of how we define ourselves. Is it through what we do? The struggles we're facing? Who our family is or some other thing? How is it we define our identity? What makes us, us? And personally for me at the moment, this is a very live issue. Next Saturday morning, as we've already talked about, there is a service where I'm going to be making some promises about who I am, how I live, and in a real sense, something about me will be changing. On one level, it's different people from different parts of my life coming together to celebrate me finally escaping university and finishing 3 years of study. Hopefully it's a happy time, an excuse for a cream tea. But on another level, there's something more significant going on. This causes some difficulties for me because I'm a firmly paid up member of the priesthood of all believers, that we're all in this together, that we're all part of that royal priesthood, and we all have a role to play in the ministry of the church. But if I'm to take seriously some of the promises I'm going to be making next week and some of the prayers that will be said during the ordination service, then there's something about my identity that will be changing during next week's service. And unsurprisingly, I probably feel more comfortable in the Baptist tradition than perhaps in other church traditions. I may get the title of Reverend, but there isn't that sense of a separation between clergy and laity that you have in some traditions. There are not specific jobs and roles that you're only allowed to do if you're ordained. There is still this belief within the Baptist movement that we're all involved in this ministry of church. And that as we come together, we are the church. And it's not about one person being there. But in the first of two parts today, the second part coming next week, and as we turn to our passage this morning, we might find there's another way we can approach what our identity is. How great is the love of the Father? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And actually, this is one of those odd, rare occasions where actually probably the old traditional authorised version, the King James, is probably a bit closer to the meaning of what the Greek is in this. Behold, what manner of love is it that the Father has bestowed on us? And for those who like their grammar, perhaps digging back into GCSE or O-level times, in the original Greek, John is writing with a aorist imperative. I had to learn all this stuff in Greek, and it's not me at all. But at the beginning, he starts with an aorist imperative. Look, see, behold. It's an exclamation of something important, something to grab our attention, and helps us to get to that reality of what is being said and let it really sink in. The start is meant to startle us into asking, well, what manner of love is this? And the word John is using there for the what manner, potapos, if you want the Greek, is something that's expressing surprise at encountering something very different and unusual, perhaps for the first time. Possibly one of the nearest equivalents we have in today's language is, what on earth is that? It's that type of question that he's asking. It's the same word that's used when Jesus calms the storm of the Lake of Galilee and the disciples ask, what sort of man is this? Jesus is in a different category from anything that we have come across before, and so is the Father's love for us. It's a love in which God takes the initiative to make us his children. A love that takes us and all that we are and brings us into his eternal family. A love that takes our sin, our failings, our mistakes, our human brokenness and frailty, and transforms it into something truly amazing. Behold, what manner of love is this? A pure, holy God stoops to earth and gives himself for us so that we can be called the children of God. And to be called a child of God is not something to be taken lightly. If we think of the whole process of adoption, which that's one of the terms that's used throughout the New Testament, that we're adopted into God's family, then the legal process 2,000 years ago is much the same as it is now. That somebody in being adopted, somebody who's outside a family, with no rights and no entitlement within that family, changes their status and takes on the full rights, privileges and inheritance of that new family. And as we think of adoption, what might motivate someone to take that on? That take on that whole bringing somebody new into your family, to take on potentially the extra expense, the extra work, the hassles, dealing with somebody else. What might motivate us to do that? Well, there's a number of reasons for that. But often it can be seen to be taking someone from a vulnerable position and to giving them security. For perhaps an abandoned child to have a place of belonging, a home with a family, support and encouragement, a place where they know they are loved and they are wanted. And their Heavenly Father? Is that any different? The love that God is lavishing onto us so that we can be his children? There was actually a great article I was reading as I was trying to prepare for this by a guy called Timothy Keller, who's a minister over in a church in New York, but also a prolific author. I don't know how he has time to write. He probably puts out about 2 books a year, and I have no idea how he does that, as well as being a minister. But it's a great article he wrote in a magazine that talks about what this relationship, so the attributes of this relationship of being a child of God. And he comes up with 7 aspects. So it's not the traditional Baptist three-pointer, but we've got 7 aspects that can define what being a child of God can mean. So firstly, one aspect of this relationship is security. At the start of our passage, back in verse 28 and 29, John talks of when Jesus returns, we will be confident and unashamed before him. We've been sealed with God's Spirit in our relationship with God. We are to believe Scripture and know that if we have entered that relationship with God, then we are saved and God is our Heavenly Father. There's a security in there that's unlike perhaps being employed or in a job. We can't be fired from this. We can't suddenly be disadopted. We are adopted into that family. There's a security there in having God as our Father. A certainty of putting our trust in God that wouldn't be there when we put our trust in other things. So that's the first one, security. Secondly, is authority. We're not God's slaves or his servants, but his children. We don't work for God. We are his children. And back when John was writing this in a household there, the slaves would have had no authority at all. They can only do what they are told. But as a child, as an heir of that family, there would be an authority within there. They have a degree of autonomy. They have a chance to make decisions, to do what it is that they need to do. And we have that authority delegated to us. We know that we're on the side of the Father, that we have the same mission that Jesus had, that he passed down to us. As my Father sent me, so send I you. But we have the Spirit working in us and through us. So we're not helpless. We're not slaves. We're not servants. But there's an authority through God's Spirit working in us. So security and authority. But thirdly, and for me possibly one of the more important ones, intimacy. The word that's frequently used in the New Testament is Abba, Abba Father. It's the Aramaic, as you probably all know, for daddy. It's that real close bond and relationship that's there. I'm not sure if you've ever seen those videos on YouTube or Facebook or somewhere of a soldier returning from a long deployment or something and being met by the family at the airport, where suddenly you see these little kids catch a glimpse of their dad, excitement, joy, screaming daddy, as they run and give them a huge, great hug. That level of intimacy, that level of calling God daddy, is something we have open to us through that relationship that Jesus has established. It's a much more intimate expression than the father that we so often use. It talks of us really being able to get to know our heavenly daddy and to build that relationship. So security, authority and intimacy. But assurance as well. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When we cry out to God as Abba, the Spirit of God somehow comes alongside us and gives us that assurance that we are truly in God's family. And that doesn't mean we're never going to have any doubts, that we're always completely 100% assured of everything. But we have evidence that as we are Christians, we have his promises. We see our lives changing and growing. And the evidence kind of mounts up. And God's Spirit and our Spirit talk and communicate and testifies that we are God's children. Inheritance. As children of God, it's hard to overstate this. We've got an incredible future. What we have to look forward to, the hope that we have, is just beyond our wildest dreams. So on the one hand, we have that confidence that to stand unashamedly before Jesus when he returns. But we also know through Scripture that he is preparing our eternal home for us. There was somebody at college joked about, well, if God spent 7 days, or 6 days building the universe, and he spent the last 2,000 years preparing a home for us, my word, what's that going to look like? But actually, we have that inheritance as children of God. We have that to look forward to, that hope that sits within there. That we will one day stand with the resurrected Christ in the new heavens and the new earth and be part of that glory. So security, authority, intimacy, assurance, inheritance. Two more to go. Discipline. This is perhaps where things come into land a little bit more. That as children, we sit under the authority of our parents. And one of the roles we have as parents is to discipline our children. To teach them a sense of right and wrong. To try and to help them through life using our experience and the things that we've learned and been taught by our parents. Do we pass those inheritance things down? And as children of God, we sit under God's authority. And we would surely expect him to also impart to us knowledge of what is right and wrong. And we've got different ways of receiving that. We have the Spirit testifying directly in us, testifying to the guidance of authority of Scripture, and also in those that God has placed around us. But we need to be open at times to receive the discipline of our Heavenly Father. There are times when we get things wrong. And we need to be open to hearing that from God and to trust him to lead us through it. We need to trust his amazing love for us and know that how he is shaping, guiding and leading us is so that we can become the best that we can possibly be. And to reflect what becomes the seventh point and the last point, to reflect our family likeness as children of God. Because we grow and develop as God's children, we should be seeing some kind of family likeness between us. And that doesn't mean we all start looking the same, dressing the same, thinking the same, acting the same on everything. But perhaps in that we're demonstrating some of those characteristics that identify us with God. We could think of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Or it could be in a shared passion for justice, or a concern for those in struggle, or the way concern at the way we're treating our environment. It could be in the way we welcome and support those around us. But also, if we're being honest, it might be in the way that we endure some of the sufferings that will come our way. In our passage, John talks about the world does not know us because it didn't know Jesus. We're following in Jesus' footsteps. And as we become more like Jesus, there are times that the ways of the world will not recognise what we do. It will seem alien and distant to them. But if those are characteristics of being a child of God, of being secure in our relationship, of having authority through being part of God's family, of intimacy with a knowable God who loves us, of assurance and a divine inheritance to come, of being subject to God's guiding and teaching as he moulds us into being more Christ-like and increasing our family resemblance, then what might that mean for us? Effectively, that's where next week comes in. But I'll finish this morning with some advice I've managed to get from the most reliable of sources out there, Google. I googled good advice for a family to grow together. And there's a few things came through. You'd be surprised at how many pages are out there that are kind of around this building strong families. But some of the common themes that came through, and perhaps these might be things for us as a church as well. Spend time together. Say please and thank you. Eat together. Celebrate the good times. Support each other in the tough times. And the one that came through was, don't be afraid of showing love. And that's not a bad place to leave it this morning. About not being afraid to show love. Both to our Heavenly Father and to those around us. So often we talk about God being love. But how do we as children of God display that family characteristic? So if as a church we can continue to work on those things, because I don't think they're absent, I don't think they're missing, I think they're things we do. But if we continue to work on those, then I've just got the feeling that God's got the most amazing adventure ahead of us. An amazing, exciting time. So let's pray. Father, as we think of what it means to be a child of yours, to be adopted into your family, to be loved, to be supported, to be encouraged, to be disciplined. Father, help us to look to you. Father, help us to play a part in the family, to do the things that bring us closer to you and to each other, to support each other, to celebrate the good times. Father, help us to show our love for each other and for you, both here within the church, but also in this village, in this location, Lord. Help us to be the light that goes out into this village, that demonstrates your love, that brings your love to the people around us, that we encounter day by day, week by week. Father, be with us. Keep us close. And keep us safe. Amen.